Oh, I love her. Sophie Alice Baxter and Take Me Home on Today FM. It is Allison Curtis with you. Weekend Breakfast. And yeah, she's got a brand new book out. And she was on our show last year, so it'd be great to get her on again to talk about the book and her kitchen discos. And she's just a wonderful, wonderful person. It is 11:34. Allison with you, Today FM. And Jennifer Rock, a.k.a. The Skin Nerd, always one of my favorite people to have on the show, full of information that we literally crave. Oh my gosh, Jennifer, it's like we soak it up. We soak you up like a serum. Jennifer, how are you?
Good morning, Allison. I'm great. Thanks a million. How are you?
Great, great. So listen, you have, this, of course, The Skin Nerd, and you've, you're very much part of Less is More campaign, and it kicked off just last week. Will you tell us a bit more about it?
Yeah, of course. So Less is More is to do with The Skin Nerd and Skin Gradients. So essentially, when you look at the beauty sector as a whole, we really want to try and start a conversation, which is how do we make ourselves far more sustainable in the beauty sector? Because statistically, there's a common reality that an awful lot of people will use a product once and then throw it away, which feeds into the global stats, such as 91% of plastic isn't actually recycled globally. That means only 9% is. 142 billion units of plastic is generated by the beauty sector alone. And when I adore my topic and I'm all about skin and education, and as you said, hopefully people are really soaking that up, I wanted to make sure that we took that responsibility piece a little bit further and ensure that we talk about how to help this. How can we behave slightly more responsibly from a brand owner perspective, and therefore make it easier for our clients to use products that aren't just being thrown away after one use, but still getting long-term skin results for their skin.
Right. So you guys, Skin Gradients, you've changed, I guess, how the products are presented and how they're bought.
Yes. Yeah, so essentially, Skin Gradients itself launched just over 2 years ago. And any eagle-eyed Skin Gradients users would have realized that if you look inside, there was always an inside container, which meant that it was always the idea and the objective was to make it a refill. It wasn't quite as easy to do it in the early days. It's taken just over 2 years to make it a reality. But as of Wednesday, we have stopped, recalibrated, realigned, and changed every single part of packaging to become refillable,
wow,
which, Alison, hasn't been the easiest thing to do in the middle of a global pandemic. But even as a young and new business owner, I suppose it's quite a decision to decide to stop and restart. But I felt that to have the morally driven part of the business, it made sense.
Yeah.
And again, going back to those stats, or even Matthew, my son, coming home from school, talking about all the plastic globally, it's a conversation everywhere. And that's why we're starting this conversation about how do I have a better impact on the planet. And thankfully, an awful lot of our clients are just constantly replenishing and repurchasing Skin Gradients, getting results for their skin. But now you literally get your product, you buy your outer wall once, and then you just get your refills from there on in. So it can't be any easier. And making bottles bigger, there's so many things that we can do in the beauty sector to ensure that we're not feeding into those stats as much as we once were.
Yeah, because that's the thing too, because that's, I mean, I spend, as you know, I've talked to you many times over the years about this, I spend a good bit on skin products. I don't actually buy a lot of makeup or hair products, but I am aware, because I'm trying to be green and sustainable for a number of years now, I am aware of my waste on that front. So this is really, really good news. Jennifer, when I said, I put up a story on Instagram last night and I said yesterday you were going to be on, we always get loads of questions for you. People really, really want your knowledge, and you're so good to share with us on the show. And it's been a while actually since you've been on, so it's fabulous to have you back this morning. Some of the things that came in, though, when I put it up that you were going to be on the show, a lot of people are like, can you ask her what are some of the basics for healthy skin? Like, what are some of the, like, the real baseline things that everyone could be doing each day?
Yeah, of course. So I would say, firstly, it's always to cleanse. It's about, in my opinion, there are key ingredients that everybody needs for skin health. I feel that we can get quite, myself included, bamboozled and fall in love with all the marketing and the prettiness and the shiny objects and the celebrity endorsements. But if you take all that aside and just go back to anatomy and physiology, essentially you're looking for key ingredients in the skin. And in terms of what to do, honestly, cleansing every morning and cleansing every evening is step one. And then putting SPF on every single morning. If that's all you did 365 days of the year, then in essence, you're treating the skin as an organ. You're not really treating it as an accessory. If you want help with pigment or lines or open pores or congestion, there's more that you can do within that. But honestly, cleaning your skin every morning to prepare your skin for the day, putting your SPF on the correct amount, which is half a teaspoon from your collarbone up every single day, will ultimately mean that you're shielding and defending your skin from the elements. Now, in Ireland, on this beautiful island of ours, we can often be excused for not thinking, well, there's no sun and I'm not getting heat. But actually, those silent rays, your UVA rays, are often dubbed by dermatologists the deadly ray, simply because they are silent. And those light rays have the ability with their wavelength to penetrate past the top layer of the skin into the lower layers of our skin and have a negative effect on our skin from a skin cancer perspective. And then from an aesthetic perspective, they are the most aging ray, and yet we don't feel them. So you don't, mm-hmm. You might be forgiven for thinking that on a day like today, for example, I'm based in Dublin, there's no real heat out there, but there's definitely daylight. So SPF absolutely and cleansing will be the two cornerstones baseline, no matter what age, no matter what gender you identify as.
Good. That's amazing. That's good advice. Very, very good advice. And Jennifer, what about something I thought about a lot in the last few years is the amount of time that we're facing a screen and how that can impact our skin. And a lot of people asked me about that as well last night. So what are some of the things we could be doing to kind of safeguard ourselves on that front?
So when people talk about, and you're so right, particularly over the last year, I think so many of us have been communicating and our social life has turned into screen work as opposed to just work, you know, from your working from home scenario. And similarly, children are spending a lot more time on screens through school and through home. So it's a reality of our day-to-day life. A lot of the studies out there at the moment are looking into what's called HEV light, which is high energy visible light, otherwise known as that blue light that you mentioned. But a lot of the stats and data is claiming that we're more orientated towards your eye health and your sleep pattern, which conclusively shows that it does have a negative impact over a period of time on your sleep and on your eye health. So sleep definitely will impact skin. In terms of skincare, it's still not completely conclusive. So a lot of the stats have just been from 5-day exercises. So it's not really done over a long enough period of time to have an absolute definitive answer to say you must do it. However, I am very much an err on the side of caution when it comes to skincare. So I would rather people try to use an SPF that has that blue light protection in it. If you're already, which we said, hopefully using an SPF every single morning, hail, rain, shine,
yes,
then why not just get an SPF that has that extra level of protection in it, just to ensure. If you think about it, you're sitting in front of a computer perhaps 40, 50 hours a week. We're not designed to do that. It causes a lot of inflammation. It can accelerate pigmentation. And studies have shown that it will deepen the lines and wrinkles that are due to come anyway, because they are a gift in a sense, but they'll accelerate the speed at which they come.
I know. And the other thing is I find, you know, when I'm staring at it for a while and I kind of stop and realize what I'm doing, I'm like, you're often making a face when you're looking at it as well. Like, it's like the frown lines. You're like, what am I looking at here? What, Jennifer, what would be some of the kind of mistakes, like the most common mistakes people make when they do start their kind of skincare routine, or they're kind of, they introduce it into a daily thing?
It's such a good question. I think it's such a confusing sector, to be honest, Alison. Even myself, who's been in it for nearly 18 years now, it's my passion, it's everything to me. And yet there's such evolving technology always, so it can be quite overwhelming. It's quite a saturated market. By and large, I think the main misconception that still exists is that people feel they need a lot of time and a lot of products in order to have healthy skin. And honestly, it can be as simple as 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes in the evening. I promise you, putting mascara takes on longer, potentially putting on your seatbelt takes on longer. As in, there are things that we do every single day that we should just, we need to be aware that it's easy to get this time in for skin. So it's cleansing in the morning, it's SPF in the evening, and then cleansing in the evening, cleansing in the morning, SPF in the morning, and then cleansing in the evening time. So you don't need an awful lot of time. In terms of serums, I'm a big believer in vitamin A, vitamin C. I think they are, not just I think they are, stats and data and facialists, dermatologists, nutritionists alike, it's the common denominator ingredient that every single sector seems to agree has an ability to really help the skin. So they're kind of the main things that you need to do. The other misconception would be that people don't see the skin as an organ. They see it more like an accessory. And when I say that, I mean that we try to perhaps put tan and really exfoliate and pummel it off, or we don't really try to look after the skin. Whereas if I could, which I won't, but ever encourage, but if anyone could really see your organs, or if you could put your hands into your heart, or put your heart into your hands, should I say, you wouldn't exfoliate it. You'd really respect it because you obviously need it. Now, the skin obviously isn't as vital as your vital organs, but it still is an organ. Yeah. And so what I think is important for people to be aware of is not seeing it like that accessory and trying to just get the right ingredients on in a simplistic and affordable manner. And if you're confused, seek a consultation, because sometimes it is hard to know where to go and what to do.
Yeah,
genuinely.
Definitely. I mean, you've transformed exactly that. You've transformed through your knowledge how I kind of treat my skin in the last number of years and the whole process around like cleansing, the routine and everything. And finally, Jennifer, as well, like there's no, like, you know, obviously there's certain products that are very harsh, and there's like cosmeceuticals, as you've talked about on the show before as well. But like, really, we should kind of be instilling this as a kind of a hygiene practice in our kids at quite a young age.
And this is a controversial answer, but I definitely am a huge believer in that. So when people contact, a lot of our audience might be males and females, typically 30 plus. And I'd have people say, look, I've got a little child, I've got a baby, they have X, Y, and Z. What should I do? And I'm a big believer in just trying to get them to see it as part and parcel of their, you know, their, as you said, the hygiene routine. So whether they're brushing their teeth in the morning, the evening, just get them into the habit of using a mitt and a gentle cleanser in the morning. All you're really doing is taking the day away from them. So essentially, they're still exposed to pollution and smog and exhaust fumes. So it's not that you're trying to do it for vanity reasons. You're doing it to essentially clean that organ that we spoke about. So that's how I would.
You've so much wonderful information. People can also, you know, follow you online, The Skin Nerd and Jennifer Rock. And of course, they can find out more about skiningredients.com. And I really appreciate your time this morning. And thank you so much, Jennifer. And we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Allison.
Bye. Bye.
Weekend Breakfast with Alison Curtis
and Cadbury. There's a glass and a half in